Earlier this year, I went to Emerald City Comic Con, and with everything going on there, I managed to get some time to interview the cartoonists Hannah Blumenreich and Mildred Lewis, as well as the Fantagraphics employee Anna Peterson. Presented by Radio Geekly, here's some insight to Emerald City.
So how did you join, like, the con circuit, I guess?
I have no idea. I sort of fell into it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first, like, commercial convention, I guess, because, you know, if you want to think of the other ones, it's like the indie cons and things like that, like Cake and SPX, which are pretty big, I mean, you know. But yeah, just a way to promote my stuff and get in there. I started with Mix in 2011. That ran for like 2 years. It's a little short guy. And then went away. And then I went to more, because it's a really good way to meet people and promote your work.
Yeah, based on what I've seen in your comics and sketches, you seem to pay a lot of attention to character expression. Like, they have, like, their nuance. Like, it doesn't seem like any two are alike.
Oh, sure.
So I'm kind of wondering if that's more of an intuitive thing or something you put deliberate effort into?
Both. Definitely both. Let's see. I guess it's something that I was already doing. And then I saw Iron Giant, and Brad Bird's expressions just, like, clicked for me. I was like, oh, okay, that's how it's supposed to work. That's how it goes. And I guess it became sort of both intuitive and also studied. Like, if I have a face and it's supposed to make a specific expression and I can't quite get it right, I'll spend, like, probably too much time trying to get it exactly right. But I have to, like, know when it's there and then to stop drawing and not fuss with it anymore.
Where do you think the urge comes from to get it just right?
I guess it's a storytelling thing. Like, if you have the wrong expression, you're going to get the wrong kind of acting, and then you're going to send the wrong kind of story or information to the reader who can't read your mind and get exactly what you're trying to get. So it's, like, the closest you can get to being, like, this is how you need to feel about what's happening now to a reader. So if you can get that exactly right, you can sort of tell a joke the right way, you can tell a sad moment the right way, if you can get the face spot on, you know, and the gesture.
Compared to what your process is now, what was your method of self-printing back then when you first started as to now?
It's the same. It hasn't changed. It really should. I went to the Minneapolis College of Art and Design, and there's a printing center in there, and I have a friend who works there, and she's so competent and so good, and she'll print out my stuff, and she knows, and I don't have to, like, talk her through, like, exactly what I need cut and done, because she knows, and she's real great. I have been thinking of, like, you know, eventually getting a larger book. It'd be cool to, like, use a printer and get, like, some different paper options and stuff than, like, a small college printing center can provide, obviously.
The not-so-secret identities panel? Can you tell me more about what that is and what you'll be doing there?
I'm not 100% clear on... I haven't seen the questions, actually, so I don't know what I'm getting asked. But I do know that I'm there with a lot of really cool people who I'm excited to meet, so I'm there excited for that. I'm excited to talk about superheroes and, like, identity politics, because that's what superheroes are, you know, at their best, I think.
So I guess, how can gender politics improve in the superhero genre?
Ugh, anyway. Anything is improvement. I think it has a lot to do with which creators you bring in. If you have, for instance, a straight white dude coming in to tell a story, it can be done, but it's been done so much that it's more interesting to bring in, like, anyone else to tell the story of anyone else. You know, even to get someone else in to tell a story of a straight white guy who isn't a straight white guy can put a much more interesting spin on it, I think. Yeah, I think it has to do a lot with creators more than content at this point, because you see a lot of sameness in creators. It's changing, I think, but, you know, you see that a lot, and it affects the kind of stories that come out because it affects the experiences those creators have had.
You've probably talked about this before, but how did the Spidey zine get the attention of Marvel? So I'm pretty curious about that.
I have no idea. I think one or two of the sort of the right people saw it and pushed it towards editors, and that was what happened. But I think it just got really huge online and it sort of fell into the right people's laps. I didn't expect that to happen. I really thought it would, like, get some notes and then it would sort of go away, because that's what happens to, like, everything that gets put online, right? But it became super huge and sort of amazing.
I've been trying to figure out where the sense of community among concerning the medium of comics, like where it comes from. Like, it's definitely seen in smaller cons. I have a hunch that it's more about how there's something integral to the comics medium that draws people together because people put so much into making them. But I'm kind of wondering where you think that community and sense of connection comes from.
I think it has to do with us being so small. We're such, like, a little medium, and we're all, like, locked away in our rooms all the time. It helps so much that there's social media. We can all, like, just talk to each other on Twitter when we're all, like, tucked away working at, like, 4 in the morning. And then when we get to meet each other, there's, like, that sense of, like, oh, you're the person who is, like, dealing with whatever you're dealing with at some odd hour of the morning. So there's that. And then I guess, I don't know, like, sort of a sense of camaraderie. Just because we're working on this, a medium that isn't taken terribly seriously in this country, this continent maybe. But I guess because we're not a very big medium compared to, like, let's say movies. Like a comic book movie is a huge, huge deal, but a comic book is not such a huge deal. And so as creators, we're, like, much tighter and more protective of the media that we make, I think, than, like, something that's so much bigger because we feel more that it's in our own hands. And that we're much closer to it.
And also, just as far as its operation goes, what do you think of Emerald City?
This is my first time doing it. So far, so good. I guess it seems intense. I'm on the 6th floor of a building doing this, which is crazy. I don't know, it all feels like a lot. I don't think I'll have a really good opinion of it until the very end when I can, like, really step back and assess it. But so far, so good.
Now, I interviewed Hannah briefly, and, like, as we were walking back to her table, I was just going to interview strangers and other cartoonists who are into comics, conventions, social justice, or diversity.
Okay.
And she recommended you.
Yeah.
So how do any or all of those things matter to you?
They're all very important to me. It's, like, basically a lot of the focus that I have on a lot of my comic work is really making sure that the characters in it really reflect the world as I see it, which is super diverse, and showing people of all different backgrounds and identities, and just making it a lot more normalized.
What other efforts do you think would be good to make it normalized in comics?
I think just hiring more diverse creators, and not just, like, having us draw things, like hiring us as editors, writers, creators, like letting us develop our own stories will help a lot.
So how did you get involved with doing conventions when you were making comics?
I just kind of did it because that was, like, the recommended thing to do. Like, I started my webcomic, and then I started looking into making my first one, or, like, making my webcomic into the first book, and people were just like, go to conventions, because that's how you'll help build a better network, meet new friends or fans, and get more people into it.
What kind of comics do you do, like, subject-wise?
Yeah. So the webcomic that I run is called Agents of the Realm. It's a story about 5 young women. They get into college, and they find out that they're magical girls. So very heavily inspired by Sailor Moon.
Nice. I feel like there aren't really enough magic girls in the genre.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Sailor Moon's the only thing I can think of. And maybe Star versus the Forces of Evil. But
yeah.
I haven't seen much of that show.
There is actually one really good one. It's from France. And I think season 1 and 2 are both on Netflix now. And it's called Lollyrock, which, title-wise, it sounds terrible. And even the art is a little off-putting because it looks kind of like the Bratz dolls. So it's like huge heads and really huge eyes. But the story is actually really well, and the way that they manage to embrace every aspect of, like, the art direction is impressive. It's really, really good.
So I guess when you're drawing and making comics, what do you take in as a priority when you're making them? Like, what do you have to get right, I guess?
Making the characters feel alive. That's a huge thing for me. I want everyone who reads my stories to really connect with them and feel what they're feeling and just get fully immersed into what they're experiencing.
I ran out of questions that I'm making up as I'm going along.
No worries.
But do you have anything you want to add? Anything about Emerald City that you like so far?
It's a great show, and if you're around and listening and it's still going on, definitely come by and check it out. And I'm at Table P9 in Artist Alley if you want to come by and say hi too.
All right, cool. Mildred, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
My name is Anna Peterson. I'm the marketing manager at Fantagraphics Books in Seattle, Washington.
So what other cons does Fantagraphics do around the country?
This is one of the biggest ones we do. This and San Diego Comic-Con in July. Other than that, we usually do the small press shows like Mocha in New York and TCAF in Toronto, Cake in Chicago, SPX in Bethesda, Maryland, and Short Run also in Seattle.
The We Told You So, the comics as art?
Yeah.
What kind of things about Fantagraphics history are in the book?
Everything. That's why it's 650 pages long, because everything is in it. It's our sordid history of lawsuits and long drives across the country, moves from D.C. to Seattle in 89, employees who hate us now, lots of guns, because we're like the Wild West in comic book form. It's amazing. And I always tell people that I work with the greatest bunch of weirdos that I've ever met, which is like the highest compliment that I can pay to anyone.
Yeah, what kind of lawsuits did Fantagraphics experience over the years?
There's some issues with Harlan Ellison back about 15, 20 years ago, but you can get the whole story in the book.
And what about the long road trips?
Yeah, well, when Fantagraphics started, they were trying to start their own fan conventions and trying to sell their own fanzines at the same time. So our owners, Gary Groth and Mike Catron, would drive like long hauls just to get from one convention to another when it was still like in the basement of a church or a hotel and there was 20 sad tables set up. But that was comics back in the day, and that 40 years ago, and that's how we started.
How do you think cons have developed from the time Fantagraphics was founded to how they are now?
Well, they're definitely more accepted. I mean, I'm surrounded by some great publishers, like literally surrounded right now by some great publishers. Also, I'm looking at a jewelry stand. There's a geek makeup seller over in the corner, and you wouldn't have found that stuff in conventions maybe even like 10 years ago. So it's been that quick that the mainstream of geekdom, nerddom, fandom has like taken off, and it's cool to be a part of that. Meets a lot of different customers who probably didn't know that we existed for so long before that.
There's something I've been wondering about the comics medium in general. It's just, as I see it, comics has a very strong sense of community. So my theory behind that is that there's something about the medium that's like integral to it that brings that community. I think it's because people put so much work and heart into the type of comics that they make. So I'm kind of wondering, like, where do you think that sense of community and connection comes from?
Well, it's a niche market and genre and art form for sure. There's not a ton of money to be made in it, so I think people try to get the social aspects and value the social capital from comics where they can, because no one's going home to their mansions afterwards. I do remember seeing an ad that Fantagraphics made for the Comics Journal a long time ago that said, F community, this is art. So we do kind of have some of that aspect. We do treat the art like a serious medium, and I think that's one of the reasons we've been able to thrive for so long, is because we appreciate it for the seriousness that people do put into their art and how much it affects their lives.
One of the things I really like about Fantagraphics is how they function not only as a distributor, but also as a curator of very prestigious comics that existed throughout the years. Like, Peanuts especially, but also I just got in the Cray Packs recently, and I know their Fantagraphics is at their second volume of their large collection. How do you think Fantagraphics functioning as a curator that separates them from other companies, or what other distributors are doing?
I think number one that people notice about our reprinted material is the production value. We think that a lot of that material, especially material that is still available widely, it's not presented in the function that shows it off as the art piece that it is. Like, we collected the entire Zap comic series, and that was a 5-volume slipcased book set that was expensive, but it kind of gave the gravitas to the medium that we think that comics has always deserved. And I think that might be the thing that sets us apart from people, from other publishers who do reprinted material, is it looks like a really nice, expensive, like, Tatian book or something that people would expect from other artistic mediums, and we think, why not comics?
From Radio Geekly and KBOO Community Radio, I'm Kyle Carrezzi.